Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William McHenry University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome in to Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us on this Monday. A happy belated Thanksgiving to you. But man, can you believe it? We are in the month of December. Michael Bublé and Mariah Carey have both completely thawed. They're in the malls. They're in the store parking lot. They're everywhere you go now. And hey, we just interrupt them for a moment to bring you updates on William Carey Crusader Athletics. I'm Caleb Hamill. He's Josh West. Dalton Stanford is the man behind the board today, and we are excited to be talking about some postseason action today. We're going to be talking to Coach Danny Owens in our second segment, live and on location from Pensacola, Florida, as the women's soccer team gets ready for Embry-Riddle in the round of 16. It is winding down as they try to march on to a championship. If they're able to make that championship game, it's going to be next Monday. A tight cluster of matches hopefully to come for this women's soccer team. But, Josh, first things first, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was good. Certainly it was quick, and I think we were all glued to – coaching news, and my phone's been going off just in different text groups that I'm in or notifications that I'm in. And so I'm happy to report here on the Monday after Thanksgiving, there are no Carey coaching changes. Now, when I try to tell people that, and try to explain where Carey is in the scheme of things at the NAIA level, I said, we have the fortunate opportunity to broadcast essentially at an SEC school in the NAIA. We are that fortunate, and I don't think that's an overstatement. But in light of recent events and with the news that nobody is going anywhere at Carey, does that mean we're an LSU of the NAIA type team?
I don't know. Does it?
I don't know. You take that and do with it what you will.
You can't
just say you're an SEC team. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you got to be specific. And maybe for different sports, it's different. I don't know. I think we're the best of.
We are in a very fortunate situation. And it's been crazy on the coaching search. The dominoes that fall when one leaves and then five leave and six leaves and the trickle effect of that. Is this going to be a year where 30-something coaches change at the football level?
Yeah, it's one of the bigger coaching carousels I've seen, especially in the SEC. And then, obviously that has its own trickle-down effect to the rest of the league as different coaches get pulled away to the group of five or from coordinator positions at other Power Five schools. I mean, it's crazy.
And so we get to talk to multiple Hall of Famers on a weekly basis. We get to talk to current coaches that have their respective court and or field already named after them.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet. And then we bring back a coach who's going to be coaching this spring, whose team is preseason pick number one in the softball poll, who had taken them to the World Series.
I guess Coach Hogue's one of the few people that don't have anything named after her right now.
Yet. Just give it time.
Yeah. Coach Farrell's got to get some more years. Coach Hogue will get some more years. But Coach Knight and Coach Hallford already have their names on stuff.
How did we glaze over the fact that we didn't really hit the baseball softball poll? They come out so early. Baseball and softball preseason number one.
That is true. It's so early. And then all of a sudden, we're going to blink and baseball is actually going to be here because their first games are going to be the last weekend of January. Baseball in January just does not make a lot of sense to me. But nevertheless, that's what's going to happen.
So you're saying that we're less than 60 days away. I should panic now.
Yes. Okay. It's that soon. Granted, they are going to be road games, so we don't have to get the broadcast booth ready for that. But when it does come, we'll get the ice scraper out, make sure we clear off the windows, and make sure the heater's working. If not, bring your own. But it'll be fun.
Football season's a mosquito spray. Baseball at Carey's, the ice scraper. I love it.
That's it. That's what we'll need for that. But hey, yeah, busy week for us, and I know we're going to actually get to Carey stuff to talk about. We've got high school football championships coming up, but you also got bookending that. A couple doubleheaders of William Carey basketball, as the women are still undefeated in what are the games that count for their season so far. Men trying to kind of get back on the winning side after a tough little week right there before Thanksgiving began. But good promising work ahead against two decent squads.
Well, I mean, you know, we were talking about, and I assured you that going into this week, we would have plenty to talk about coming off a week in which there was no competition due to Thanksgiving week. But there was an NAIA basketball poll on the women's side and men's side. But we're caring right now more about the women's because of where the women are ranked. The ladies made a bump in that poll quite significantly, up to 77 votes, up to enough votes to 26th in okay. that poll, knocking off 22nd ranked Loyola in very, I don't know if dominant fashion is a word.
Convincing?
But I mean, convincing, yes. Much better word than dominant. 69-54, outscored Loyola 23-13 in the third quarter. And the player that, again, was such an X factor in that game was Brooklyn Cuevas. So she has established herself as that number one player, that sixth player role, if you will, first player off the bench for Coach Garriga's squad. She continues to knock down threes at an impressive clip. Five threes, four threes, four threes made per game. She's up to 13 made threes in that little three-game stretch. And so, I mean, she comes off the bench, and she is instant offense for this team, and that is rubbing off onto Jenna, onto Leah, onto some of those other shooters, even onto a player who has had to take on such a role of facilitator that it's hurt her scoring a little bit. She's not looking to score, or maybe her focus isn't on scoring as much, but that's going to come, and that's Addie Shearer. Mm-hmm. Addie can score, but when you look at her field goal percentage, hovering around 25% or less from three and from two-point range, that's uncharacteristic. This is a Cary team that is fifth in the country in scoring defense right now, giving up 49.8 points per game. And the thing that really struck me, and I think we've talked about this, Caleb, they get down and defend at a different level than they even did last year. They go 26-0 in the regular season last year. I've not seen them play on-ball defense, and I'm talking about getting down, sitting into a stance, moving your feet, not reaching, high hands, being active with your hands, not slapping down, slapping up where you get a silly foul call. Fundamental, good, hard nose, and that just takes energy and effort. That takes want to. That takes grit. And that trickles down from the top. And so Coach Garriga has been able to take her energy, her fire, right, she is so fiery in practice, if you will, maybe a little more reserved on game days. It has rubbed off on the team. And I just think that everything they're doing right now is resonating with this team. And I've lost track again of what the regular season ticker is right now. It's up like 44 in a row, regular season wins in a row.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Could be.
I mean, and again, it's okay to talk about it because it's just not harped on. It's not even the team doesn't talk about it at all. It may make it into one out of every other broadcast. But
well, it's the same thing with Coach Danny Owens and home wins.
Right, for women's soccer. On the other side, shifting gears now, so ladies are undefeated. They've got what I think you know Coach Garriga would say is second or third best team in the league right now in Tennessee Southern and then Blue Mountain. And we know how good Blue Mountain is. We've got to owe them a little bit from knocking us out of the tournament last year and giving us our first loss. But then for the men, they'll look to bounce back after an 81-75 loss to Loyola in a game in which Loyola made a bunch of big shots. And what was interesting about that game is, you know, it was an interesting week. You play Southern Miss, turn around the following night, Tuesday, Wednesday, doubleheader, kind of back-to-back nights, a couple of D1 exhibitions. You lose those two and don't shoot the ball well. Play okay, don't shoot the ball well, and then it carries over again into the Loyola game. And for whatever reason, whether the team was a little tired from just the workload of the week or if a lot of the things that Loyola did in that game were energy zappers, whatever your opinion is on why they didn't have the kind of energy and weren't as quick-tempoed in terms of transition basketball offensively as they needed to be, they just didn't have it. And so you lose to a very good Loyola team who was returning a ton of players who were going to be in the top four to five teams minimally in the league, in my opinion. You got to bounce back. You go win two on the road this weekend, and all is forgiven. You're 8-1, you're 2-1 in the league, and everything's back on schedule.
Yeah, it really is a big opportunity. And I do want to ask you, in a week that you are so busy, are you ready for another triple overtime game against Blue Mountain on the road?
No, I want to be Blue Mountain by 30 or 35. And no offense, Blue Mountain. You know it's all in love. I love having them competitive. I want them to be as good as they can be. I want that for the league. I want to have as many teams as we can in postseason tournaments. But, of course, if you're an in-state rival, we want to beat you when we play you. And so they got beat by 73 to Southern Miss. So I want to go hang a nice little 30-40 spot on them. I don't know. They're really good. They're really good in that building. They had an off night against a very good Southern Miss when they were on. But, no, I'll take 20.
Okay, a conservative 20.
20. 80 to 60. But again, realistically, 70 to 50 is the way things are trending right now. Nice little 70, 75, 50 win, and let's get on back to Hattiesburg on Saturday.
Well, so there's women's basketball and men's basketball teams both have opportunities to either continue their winning ways or get back on the winning side. And another group that wants to continue winning ways, that's women's soccer, as they are in the NAIA round of 16 at the final site in Pensacola, Florida. Coming up next on the show, we've got Coach Danny Owens waiting in the wings to talk about this team and what is ahead for them as they're about to face off against Embry-Riddle and try to continue on this postseason possible championship run here in 2025. Stay tuned to that. We'll also have coming up a recap of the volleyball season with Coach Rhonda Shirley. That and more coming up as you listen to Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, glad to be back with you here on Crusader Talk, talking everything William Carey Athletics. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Dalton Stanford behind the board making this possible. We're getting geared up. I love getting to get geared up for postseason soccer. Postseason, anything for that matter, because this season has been so good for Coach Danny Owens and company that it's just been astounding, especially given what they lost last year. You know, two other big forward people of Christina Salmon and Alicia Davis. I mean, really incredible that they've been able to do what they've been able to do. Because, I mean, think about it. You had really shining through Karen Villal, Virginia Mesa duo. And then pair that with Alyssa Navarro. They have really been able to just come through and make the efforts work and have really made a huge impact on the season. And we're about to talk to Coach Danny Owens here on the program. Coach, you with us?
I am with you now, yes.
Ah, there we go. Well, Coach, first of all, how's the weather down in Pensacola?
Yeah, it's a little rainy and windy and cold this afternoon. But I think the rain's going to clear out tomorrow.
Yeah, you needed to tell the men's side to not bring all that Kansas weather to the coast.
That's right. That is right. It's been nice until they moved down here to their tournament.
I'd say that it just brought the gloomy clouds with them. But, Coach, I mean, regardless of what kind of weather it is championship weather, and that's the kind of weather you want to be in. But you look ahead for what is hopefully a long postseason upcoming for your group, and you really have done well all things considered throughout this season, with the only blemish being that Kaiser loss earlier in the year when they were playing at their peak, possibly. And now you look ahead and you've got Embry-Riddle standing in front of you. But before we get to previewing that matchup, I want to just ask you about the opening round. Get a 2-0 win over Xavier, a team you had seen earlier this year, and luckily won't have to face again in the opening round in the years to come as long as the NAIA doesn't put a conference foe up against you. A first half that was probably not as well executed as you would like. What did you see change in that second half to get that win?
Yeah, I just don't think we were doing, I guess at halftime I told the girls we're not doing the things that we did that got us to where we were, and that we just needed to go back to doing, the things that we've talked about, we've worked on, that we've improved. You know, I kind of told the girls how much we've improved since August, and just get back to doing those things. And I thought we did so in the second half and just kind of maybe settled in. You know, it's really the worst game of the season because, you have to win to get to nationals. And I'm sure the girls felt a little bit of that in the first half, but I thought it was a lot better second half.
So, Coach, in looking at what's to come here, I know there's a hopeful long haul coming up for you, but immediately right in front of you is an Embry-Riddle team out of Arizona, and possibly a good matchup, you know, for how your girls play the game versus how Embry-Riddle does, but give us kind of a peek behind the curtain at what's to come tomorrow.
Yeah, Embry's a team that we've never played, actually. I've never been able to play them. I'm good friends with the coach, but we've never squared off against each other. So it's going to be two different styles, you know, kind of maybe a West Coast style, just kind of type of ball that they play out there. And even, you know, your opponents, they play an entirely different schedule in terms of opponents and who they play versus kind of who we play. So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup, but that's what's fun about the national tournament is you get to watch and play teams that you hear about and you kind of watch on TV, but you never really get to see them face to face.
Yeah, break that down for us, because I know if Clayton were here, he would be all about and eating up the talk about West Coast style of play versus what, you know, we have at Cary. But just in kind of letting us, you know, figure that out, or, you know, what would we see or notice when we turn on that game tomorrow?
Yeah, they're typically a little bit bigger, a little bit more athletic, kind of maybe more of a direct style of play. You know, they'll play through the midfield and play with their outside backs, but you know, just Embry itself, they have some tall girls, some athletic girls, real aggressive defensively. So, you know, it's just a little bit different than, you know, maybe our style of play that we play here. And so I think it'll be a good matchup, and we're going to have to be on it. We're going to have to be sharp with our touches and our speed of play, and you know, try to take advantage of maybe some of their aggressiveness defending.
Coach Owens, can you take advantage in a sense of a team that has not played Cary before, that maybe just at a distance on paper has heard about Cary, and as you said, you and the coach are friends, and he may have rattled off some information about the team in the scouting report, but I'm getting somewhere with this thought. You talked about their direct style. You talk about how aggressive that they can be. For a Cary team that in recent years, where there's been injuries or teams packing it in defensively or whatnot, there have been certain matches where offense has been a struggle. Can you take their style of play and try to hope that it works in Cary's favor, be able to counter that aggression and turn that into some quick offense?
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the game plan. It's kind of what I've stepped in a couple times in practice today, and our practice session today was kind of geared – you know, being, you know, real tidy on the ball, being quick with our decision making, you know, speed of our pass, excuse me, not trying to hold on to the ball too much, you know, just being real efficient with the ball. And like you said, taking advantage of some of that. And then maybe just, you know, maybe a different style of player than maybe they're used to seeing. Hopefully we'll work in our favor as well. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, they're here for a reason. They're a really good team, and he's a very good coach, so I know he's going to have a game plan and make it difficult for us.
And, Coach, I mean, again, I know it's for media and broadcasters and, you know, all of us in the athletic department. You know, it's something that we know that, man, if we can just keep offense going into the national tournament, and I know it's something that you, the coaches, know. But is that something that players have come to you and mentioned? I know it's probably something you haven't really brought up with the team. Has it been a focal point, I guess, throughout this tournament run of trying to put a little more emphasis on the aggressiveness, if you will?
Yeah, we don't really, you know, point those things out to the team. You know, the only thing kind of my talk to them and they understand is it's difficult to win games here at the national tournament. You know, on paper, it doesn't matter what teams look like. It's just difficult to win. So I think they understand that. I think they kind of got a taste of that in the Xavier game. And so, you know, really it's just how good can we be? I told them we just have to win one game, you know, and we just need to be on it. We need to be locked in. And I thought we had a pretty good, you know, quick practice session today. And so, you know, hopefully we'll be ready tomorrow.
Coach, I'm just looking back and forth at some of the different comparisons of stats between your team and Embry-Riddle. One thing that is certain is that y'all's two squads have both shot extremely well against your opponents as far as there's a big gap. In fact, Embry-Riddle has outshot their opponents 5-1, even north of 5-1 this year. Your team about 3.5 or so to 1. But one thing's for sure that William Carey, when they've taken their shots, they have a pretty good percentage chance of them being on goal and in at that point. Embry-Riddle maybe just a little bit lower than what you have. But you know, what people won't realize up until they watch the game tomorrow is that these teams do match up very similarly, even though they have different playing styles.
Yeah, again, they're a good team. They're here for a reason. They didn't win their conference. It went to penalties, so they're kind of unfortunate there. But, you know, they had a good season. They flew out to Denver and played a couple top teams. So, I mean, they're a good team. Again, you know, there's no weak links here at the national tournament. So, so we're excited about the opportunity to play them.
All right, I'll keep you from talking in circles now and ask you about individually. I know we always talk about Karen Vallad, but Virginia Mace is a player that has been a presence all year long, but certainly lately in the postseason has really been that spark and has been that X factor, I would say, to help William Carey will their way into what is now the round of 16. How has it been for her as the season has gone on, and what is it going to be like for her as she tries to push Carey on forward?
Yeah, you know, for one, she's a senior, so she's been here, she's done that, she's seen it all. She understands what it takes. And then I think, you know, early in the season, we were kind of messing with her formation, messing with her positioning. You know, we had her in the midfield for a long time, and we put her up front. And then we're trying to pair certain forwards with her. And, you know, again, like you said, over this last few weeks, month or so, I think we've kind of got situated and comfortable. And, you know, she's not going to score every goal. She has a lot of assists, but she just really, she's definitely a focal point of who we want to play through. You know, we want Virginia to get the ball. We want her to, she's very creative. She's a good passer of the ball. She can obviously shoot. So, so yeah, and then it's her senior year, and I think, you know, she wants to win. She loves William Carey. She loves the program. So she's definitely been an added kind of bonus over this last month of stepping up and being a top player.
Coach, I know we kind of just chatted and didn't really get too deep into talking about your team specifically today, but we're doing that because we hope that we're talking next episode out about something a little bit special. So we're going to save that in the can for next time. But congratulations on so far making it this way, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much.
All right, he is Coach Danny Owens, women's soccer coach at William Carey University. When we come back, Josh and I will have Coach Rhonda Shirley from women's volleyball. Stay tuned.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Well, we appreciate Coach Owens taking some time out of his evening, getting ready for the NAIA National Tournament round of 16, for joining us here on Crusader Talk. I didn't give the full name for Embry-Riddle, by the way. It's Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Out of Arizona.
I mean, that's official.
E-roll. I don't know if that's how they say it or not, but it's what I just did. I wish we wouldn't have run out of time right there. And again, I'm hoping that's the first of a couple conversations we'll get to have with him here on some upcoming shows. But yeah, big task ahead. Yeah, chances for some redemption after a short exit or a quick exit last year in the national tournament. But yeah, one thing you and I were talking about during the break was how you could compare last season to this season as to the two different squads.
I think about 2 years ago.
Or 2 years ago.
I think about the squad with Erbst injured, not 100%, what she meant to that team healthy, and what a Virginia Mesa who has, you know, got healthy over this past summer, didn't participate and train over the summer to get healthy, get her ankle better, then made that just steady progression. This has been a nice, steady buildup to get to this point. And Coach has talked about it a couple of times, knock on wood, if you will, that unfortunately the lady we're about to talk to, injuries play such a pivotal role. and they've been able to stay healthy. And if they can continue to do that, I think that, as you mentioned, Virginia Mesa, a healthy Virginia Mesa, as opposed to an injured Julia Erbst, could be an X factor as opposed to a national championship or no. So, and especially in soft conditions, it's going to be a lot of rain. Mm-hmm. And maybe not so much a lot, just steady.
Yeah.
You know, not in buckets, but it's just going to be saturating.
Yeah, it could be. And before we get to Coach Shirley, I just want to remind you that if you want to keep in touch with what's going on in the Women's Soccer National Tournament, William Carey will be playing at 1 o'clock tomorrow as we record. Today, if you're listening to this on a Tuesday morning in podcast form, but 1 o'clock start, and you can watch it on UrbanEdgeNetwork.net or the Urban Edge Network app. So those are the two ways that you can keep in touch with it. Also, you can follow live stats and all that, but who wants to do that? You want to watch the live action, just like me, right after your lunch break. It's on that extra monitor that you hardly ever use. You know, your boss will, you know, give you the credit and say, okay, that's fine. But anyway, now joining us on the program is women's volleyball coach, Coach Rhonda Shirley. Coach, long time no see. How have you been?
Oh, good. Doing good. Long season, great season. But yeah, doing good. Enjoyed the Thanksgiving break.
Now, see, I can't say long time no see. I saw you today, Coach. It was good to see you.
I know. You can't say that.
Yeah, it was good to see you, and you did look more rested. Like you said, took a little time.
Yeah.
You know, everybody took a week. You took a couple. You needed them just to recharge the batteries. And what has that little bit of rest done in terms of even further perspective of the journey that this group went on? Because it was, you know, thrilling, excruciating, emotional. I mean, I think every emotion throughout the course of this year you experienced.
Yeah, 100%. Probably more than, I mean, I'm going on 30 years of coaching. That ages me quite a bit. I hope it doesn't age me when you see me. But it was a season like I've never experienced. It had some great highs, you know, beginning of seasons, some super lows with the plethora of injuries we had, but it also had just some proud and just like proud coaching and heartfelt moments to watch a team rally around the players that were injured and just, you know, players step in there into roles they didn't know they had to and just do it the Carey way. And I couldn't be more proud of how we finished the season. Maybe not where we wanted to finish. We would love to be in Iowa right now. But just it just gave me perspective on, I always say my favorite quote is success is a journey, not a destination. And the road doesn't always be a straight path. So, I don't know. It gave me a lot of perspective.
And I'm sure it would. And my question is going to stem from that. This is kind of an unprecedented type of situation with just the sheer amount of players that went down at some point during the year for you. And in just trying to manage that from both a coaching perspective and then also just a personhood's perspective of working with the girls remaining or even coaching through mentally the situation that the ones that went down are going through. Nothing can really prepare you for that. So how do you handle it?
I mean, it was unprecedented. I mean, I am not joking when I say this. Prior to coming to Carey, I only had two players in my whole time of coaching at all the different colleges get injuries that sideline them for the whole season. So two, and so I've been here only 3 years, so 26 years. And to have, five, I think, this year? We got one young lady having surgery tomorrow again, another kid having, it was kind of shocking, but I knew that in the end how I dealt with it was going to be how my team dealt with it, because we always say, like, it's our leaders give us, you know, the perception, and even though it was very difficult for me, because I was trying to, like, rationalize, like, what is happening, what can I do, I just knew I had to be the strong face and make sure that they knew, like, the season isn't over. We are still going to be able to, our culture is going to bring us through. And I firmly believe that that is what happened. But it was tough. I mean, to see so many talented players go down and just see their this season end for them, it was a struggle for all of us, you know, emotionally, mentally. But I am so proud of just how the team, all in general, just rallied around those that were injured, but also the injured, those kids that were sidelined, rally around the players that had to step up and assume their new roles. It was like really magical kind of to watch, because you don't always get to see that. So for me, that was something I think just so great as a coach and a team to watch.
Well, Coach, and just thinking about these players that were sidelined, and how does that impact what you bring back for next year, how you prepare for an upcoming season, just in getting your personnel all straight?
Yeah, I mean, all these young ladies that were sidelined this year should be rehabbed and, you know, with their surgeries in time, be ready to go for next season. So that part is exciting, and I know in my gut that they are going to rehab to the best of their ability, because they want to come back, because a majority of these young ladies are going to be seniors. Mm. And they want to go out in style, whether they're seniors or juniors. I mean, they're on the tail end of their career. So, you know, we're going to have all of those young ladies back. I mean, we lose two pivotal players and Natalie Bartholomew and Kat, our setter. But after that, we have everybody back with some very great kids coming in. So as much as I hated how this season ended, I am so, so excited about next year and what it looks like for William Carey Volleyball.
So you got it straight, Josh. Nat and Kat, but the rest are back?
Yeah, it's just like a Dr. Seuss book. And those all have happy endings. They all have happy endings, by the way. What's so funny is that he brings them up, and that's where I was going. One of my most memorable interviews that I've ever had at William Carey was with those two after one of our matches. Mm. And I mean, you know, Nat was in tears. Kat gave a message to her family in Serbian at the end of the broadcast there on the Urban Edge Network. Just emotional times. Some of those five-set thriller comebacks where, against all odds, this team found a way to win. And those were some of the most, had to have been some of the most special moments in the locker room, where you've got a group of players that's on crutches or on knee scooters, and they're jumping around in terms of, what you know, raising their hands in the air and cheering and clapping, and there's happy tears and all of that. I mean, there's got to be memories that have really even bonded this team even further.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, those two that you just talked about were a big glue for us, stayed very steady. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
We got you. We still
got
you.
Okay, sorry. So they just were a pivotal part of it, but there were so many great memories. I mean, you are 100% correct. I mean, the amount of I don't think we lost a five-set match. And pretty important for what we were doing. And it's just, there are some great memories. I mean, we already look back and kind of laugh about stuff, but I think if anything, they now understand, like, you're going to go through hardships. And I think it's just how you approach it and what your attitude is towards it. And that's just what we preached. And I mean, I've preached it in my culture, but you know, I mean, we really got tested this year, and
You know, I'm just so thankful to be at William Carey because I just think that the faith behind everybody really pulled us through.
Amen. Well said. I totally agree. It's just to be a part of it this year, broadcasting the majority of those matches for your team there inside the sports complex was a memory that I cherish and cannot wait until next year.
I can't either. I mean, I'm so excited about it. And I know the whole team is. I hate it for the two that aren't able to return, but everything happens for a reason. And I just feel like, you know, it wasn't our time yet this year, and God is setting us up for a great comeback, and I firmly believe that, and I just know that we are all in the right place, and we have something special ahead of us, and I just can't wait to see how that's going to unfold.
Well, we can't either, Coach, and thanks so much for joining us and getting to put a big bow on this previous season for your group. We look forward to what you and the different players bring to the table next year, and best of luck down the way.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Happy holidays to y'all.
Yep, and send the players our best.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, that's Rhonda Shirley. We'll wrap things up with you next on Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, final segment with you here on Crusader Talk. First December edition of the year. We got to start looking at the calendar, see how many more episodes we've got until Christmas. Counting down the days. We're getting close.
Yeah, this late Thanksgiving, I'm not a fan. The tree's up. The tree is not decorated.
Oh, we've been decorated since the day after Halloween. But we've been closet Christmas decorating. Finally, we invited people over to our house for the first time in a while last night. So we finally could showcase it and prove that we weren't, you know, just out Christmasing your face in the middle of November.
We're still in one-year-old land, so No, there's stuff
hang the ornaments
everywhere.
Up high.
Yeah, there's stuff everywhere.
All plastic, no glass. We added two. We had a fun opportunity, Hannah and I did last year, to do glass blown. All right, yeah, blown glass ornaments that we did ourselves at a little thing here locally in Hattiesburg. And once we made them, we're like, what are we going to do with these? We can't put them anywhere where they could get broken.
16 more years,
right?
We can bring those bad boys out.
Yeah, they're up there, but they are way up there to where I'm almost kind of in that sweet spot, like too tall for the 2-year-old to reach, but not so tall that they're going to just have a fast ride down to crash land if they do fall down. I think they would break 2 inches off the ground, but nevertheless, maybe they would slow their momentum through the branches if they fell from where they are. I don't know. But nevertheless, the holiday season is here, and so is the heart of basketball season. We're right in the middle of conference play. Looking ahead at the calendar of what's to come this week, we mentioned soccer plays tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Then you have the basketball games coming up Thursday night at Pulaski, Tennessee, where William Carey will take on the Firehawks at 5:30 for the women, 7:30 for the men. That game will be right here on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3. And then this weekend, it'll be Blue Mountain and William Carey on the road at Blue Mountain Christian University. 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock, the starts there. And because Ole Miss did not make the SEC championship game, we will have that game for you on Super Talk 97.3. So thank you, Auburn, for losing that game to Alabama to keep Ole Miss out of the championship.
So you're saying Alabama didn't beat Auburn? Auburn lost the game to Alabama?
I mean, the turnover was a big part of that. But I do think Alabama – did you watch that, by the way? Going for that fourth down and two?
No.
With a that was the thing. So they're in the 10-yard line, I want to say. Fourth and two, a tie game, and they go for it. Like late in the fourth quarter, they decided they wanted to go for it instead of just kicking the field goal to get the lead with, you know, 5 minutes or whatever it was to go. And scored a touchdown. And I feel like every Alabama fan was, no, 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 yes! When they saw that snap come back to the quarterback, thinking they may be just trying to get him off sides. But that was a crazy game. And again, for multiple reasons, of which I will not fully disclose here, I was very thankful that Alabama won that football game.
There you go. I'm happy for DeBoer, who they wanted to fire after 1 week.
Man, what a turnaround.
Let's not forget.
Football is one of those where people will easily live and die by every single result. when I think about basketball and baseball, you can't do that. You can't live and die by every single result in those two sports.
No.
Because there's so many games in that season. Mm-hmm. There are so many.
But I've said it many times, I love college baseball because that non-conference early season home series matters if you want to host a regional.
It does.
That matters. And I love that about the urgency of college baseball.
That part, it does play a factor. And for folks like us down here in Mississippi that are often in the hosting conversation, it does make a huge difference. And for the others out, you know, other areas, the colder areas, you know, the west part of the states as well, maybe not as much. But in such a hotbed of regionality in baseball, you have to stand out somehow, and that scheduling does play a huge factor. And it won't be long before baseball is back in swing at William Carey. Again, looking ahead for that schedule, they will play the Masters down in the Shreveport Classic at LSUS at 6 o'clock on January 29th. Again, a Thursday in January is going to be the first game of the year for William Carey baseball. And then, just two games later, Josh, they get to take on the national champions, the Pilots of LSUS. They finally get that game. It got skipped because of weather back in the 2025 season. And yeah, it can finally show them that they would not have been undefeated had they played that game in the regular season.
Speaking of baseball, just a total random side note. How much time we've got left?
About a minute and a half.
Okay, which means you got about 30 seconds. You got to get us out of here. You got to land this plane. Rigoberto Hernandez tearing it up with the Raging Cajuns in fall ball. Multiple home runs. So just keep an ear out for a Crusader that's taking advantage of that extra year of eligibility in NCAA. We wish him the best. And hopefully the NAIA is going to figure that out where a lot of Crusaders can stay at Carey for another year. Hopefully they'll get that sorted out in the next year. But until then, for guys like Rigoberto and Dylan Brumfield and others, fun to keep an eye on them as they extend their careers out and have success.
Oh, yeah. And there's been fun baseball news left and right here in the offseason. Like, I saw Patrick Lee is starting to do lessons teaching back down there on the coast. Saw where J.C. Sanner, former Carey pitcher, has been hired by the White Sox organization with a coaching position. So congratulations to him. He was part of that Crusader team back in 2019 that was so good. And, hey, hats off to him. A lot of fun news going around. But, hey, keep in tune to CareyAthletics.com for all the latest on William Carey sports. You'll have the full listing of possible soccer matchups for the women's soccer team on the NAIA website. Just search for NAIA and then WSOC in Google. That'll take you to the page you need to be at. But up next is Embry-Riddle at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Watch it on the Urban Edge Network. That does it for this edition of Crusader Talk. For Dalton Stanford and Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill saying until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.